Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Good morning. This is the premiere episode of the Bounce Gridiron today. I'm $2 Bill Josh Elmore, and right alongside me is El Presidente Tom Marquis. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm ready to rock and roll, buddy. It is the Balance Gridiron. And I tell you what, it is so good to be a part of the show today. And we've got a lot going on, and it is the premiere of the Balance Gridiron. We're going to be doing this thing called the Balance Gridiron every Saturday morning. Sorry about the soundbite mix-up there, Joshua. I did not have you prepped for that. I apologize. That was my fault. See, I let you drive the ship, but I didn't give you the keys. No big deal. But we're ready to rock and roll on a Saturday morning. It is the Balance Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, and the host of the Gridiron, the man with the keys today, Mr. Joshua Elmore, what is going on?
Well, before we get into college football preview for 2011, 7 days ago, last Saturday night, and what started out as a very beautiful evening at the Indiana State Fairgrounds, there was a tragedy at the State Fairgrounds. It's now claimed the lives of 7 people as of what I just heard a few minutes ago. It had been 5 all week, but apparently it is now 7.
Josh, let me interrupt you there just for a quick second, because I want to make sure we get this right. Yesterday, that number got elevated to 6. Now, you're hearing now, this is recent, that it's now 7?
I heard this morning on the Thinkers Channel 6 radio broadcast that it's now up to 7. It could be up to 8 before the end of the day, they do believe.
Okay. Well, I was unaware of that, but go ahead, Josh.
Last Saturday night, there's a large crowd of people gathered. Sarah Bareilles had just performed. I think I just texted Tom and told him it was a beautiful evening outside. Little did we all know that was going to change in the next 15 minutes. I personally was there. I've been struggling with it all week long, basically struggling how best to remember these people. And what I came up with, and I don't know what Tom's going to do to remember these people, I think the 7 people that tragically lost their life would want us to go on to continue to live ours as normally as possible. They wouldn't want anybody to stop living their life or, you know, drastically alter anything, except maybe not have outdoor concerts. So I personally plan to just continue to live my life, remember those 7 people, although I'm sure I'll never forget being there.
Right, you know, that's the only thing that you can do. And you know, one of the things here at The Balance, we've covered it on the website, is just what a huge tragedy that this was. We haven't here at The Balance have not had the opportunity to really talk about this. We talked about it briefly on Monday during the wrap-up, and I'm sure that everybody has heard about this unbelievable stage collapse from strong winds at the Indiana State Fair. And what had happened is basically more than 40 people were hurt, and now we're saying that up to 7 people were killed. It was, you know, a freak accident, left, you know, many emotionally shaken up. You know, even with Mitch Daniels, and he gave a speech or a press conference, if you will, you could tell he was very, very troubled and very, very upset about this, and visibly upset as well. Hundreds what I think is very, very admirable is hundreds of individuals just ran into trouble and started helping, you know, clear this rubble, getting people out. And, you know, and of course there was a lot of professional people on hand, you know, EMTs and volunteer firemen. We've heard the stories all week long. All offer their own professional skills, and you know, that's all about being Hoosiers, and we've talked about that before. Is that when, you know, it's time to unite, the Hoosiers are the first ones to do that. So basically what had happened is the meteorologist had indicated strong winds that was coming their way. There was no evacuation, the way I understand it, order given. And Josh, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. But at the same time, they didn't feel like there was a need to evacuate at the moment, just because this was just a severe thunderstorm warning, and wasn't the weather wasn't even expected to do this. So this was just a freak thing. The state fair was closed on Monday. No, it was closed on Sunday and reopened on Monday. And you know, there's just been an outpouring of support. Train and Maroon 5 donated all of their proceeds. I think that was in excess of $500,000. The Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay donated a dollar from every ticket that was sold to the last night's Washington Redskins game to the State Fair victims. So it was just a huge outpouring of support, if you will, in the aftermath of this tragedy, Josh.
Yes, it was certainly a tragedy. As far as the evacuation order goes, about 8:47, 8:48 p.m., one of the, local radio DJs in town came on stage and said there's a possibility there's a severe thunderstorm in the area. Be prepared to evacuate. In the meantime, however, the show will continue. Need No More got off the bottom step, then it turned out that even if you would have gave the evacuation order, it would have been too late.
And like I said, that is a sad thing. Josh, talk to us a little bit about what was going on to you know, when all of this was going on. What kind of just tell us about the scene when all of this came down.
Well, right before it all came down, they just turned the lights on the Sugarland stage. Everybody was coming back to their seats after getting their refreshments, their souvenirs, hanging out with some buddies. Everybody was having a good time at the state fair. They made the announcement, and then you could look over to the left, and this is the part they don't show in videos, at least I haven't seen it yet. It looked like a dust storm, which in Indiana we typically don't get because there's not a lot of dirt areas in the city of Indianapolis. And at first it looked like there was just some wind dust blowing up on the horse track, and so some people started to leave to take cover, and about 30 seconds after you could see the dust storm is when, I guess, all chaos broke loose in a very, very tragic event. I would like to add, apparently they knew there were severe weather storms coming at 7 o'clock. In hindsight, should they have called the canceled the concert at 7 o'clock? I personally think they should have. I guess we'll never know why they didn't.
Well, you know, we can always look back and say would have, could have, should have, Josh. But I don't think that any one person is just to blame for this. I think that this was just one of those freaks of nature that happened. So, the way I understand it, Josh, is that really there wasn't a lot of warning time for this to happen. What I'd like for you to do, Josh, is just kind of break down what happened over the next couple of minutes. We're trying to get things situated with our guest here. And when you're done with that, we'll have a moment of silence, and then we'll go to a break, and we'll get back into the show.
Well, Saturday night was a very, very tragic event. I was lucky enough to have gone to the memorial service on Monday. But before we have the moment of silence, let us not also forget the Sugarland tragedy that occurred in Tuscaloosa, Alabama earlier this summer, and the stage collapse. Now, as many Americans have heard of, basically the same thing that happened at the State Fair happened in Belgium, I want to say, was on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and three people lost their lives at that. So perhaps it's time to take a look at how safe outdoor concerts really are. But in the meantime, let's observe 60 seconds of silence and remembrance of all those who lost their lives the different tragedies. All right, I believe we're going to take...
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. Today, I believe we're in the process of getting, we have a guest calling in. I'm not sure if he's on the line yet. But what I wanted to go ahead and discuss about, while we wait for him to join us. Tom, have you heard anything about this Kevin Wilson situation?
I haven't, Josh. And what we want to do is make sure that we let you guys know that we're now back with the Balanced Gridiron here. And we're ready to premiere this show. We're ready to rock and roll, and we've been pushing this show for a little bit. So give us a, you know, let us work through the kinks as we try to put this puzzle together, as we're all in different locations. So we're trying to get our hand signals correct on that. But yes, we are back. And Josh, I know that you talked with me a little bit about that Josh Wilson story. What I want you to do is take the lead on this, and let's just give us the background on how it is. We don't have a guest on the show yet, so go right ahead.
Okay, well, back in December, Fred Glass hired Kevin Wilson, who was at the time the Oklahoma University offensive coordinator, to come to Bloomington. And some people say we build the IU football program. I'm going to say build an IU football program, as it's never really been a football program at Indiana University. Sure, you've had a bowl game here, a bowl game there, but as a consistent program, it's never existed. And he's a great fit. I like Kevin Wilson. He's a smart guy. He's dedicated. He looks like a football coach. That's something Bill Lynch never did. I know Tom was a big Bill Lynch fan, but to me, he never looked like a football coach. He looked like a basketball coach posing as a football coach, if you ask me. But on his first day on Indiana University campus, Coach Wilson, he was staying in the dorm while he was in town. It was just going to be a quick 48-hour stopover, do the press conference, meet the players, talk to a realtor. He got lost in the dorm. Many, many people get lost in dorms at IU at all the time. It is a big party school. But what sets this one apart is the RA was dealing with a publicly intoxicated student, and reports have it that Kevin Wilson started cursing out and cussing out and belittling the RA because he was dealing with the student and he wanted to give him directions how to get back to his room. Okay, that's one incident. We can deal with that. You know, in the last 24 hours, you took a job, told your old team goodbye, told your wife you were moving. I'm not sure how well that conversation went. And got to IU, met your new team, did the press conference, talked to the realtor. Stressful 24 hours. Okay, we can give him that one. All you can give him was slide on that one. Last Thursday, about 9:30 in the morning, he called into the Zach and Jack radio show, hosted by former Colt quarterback Jack Trudeau. And Jack Trudeau, I guess, was joking around with him, and he was talking about how when he was at the University of Illinois, IU never scored on Illinois University. Apparently, Kevin Wilson didn't like that comment. He goes, you know, I'm really blank and busy here. Is there something you blank and wanted, or did you just call to waste my time today? He slammed down the headset or the phone. They never really made it clear whether he was actually on the show or on telephone. And that was the end of it. And there's two problems with this. Me and Tom are both in the media. We would never do what Jack Trudeau did next. I would never call a friend at a school and tell him to run up the score on Indiana University, even if he was the head football coach at Illinois University. But my biggest problem with Coach Wilson is you can't go around berating the media, berating the RAs, especially when you don't even have a single head coaching victory. All you've done so far is talk about building IU. You've talked about building a football program. You might look like a football coach. You might sound like a football coach. But you're acting like Bobby Knight. He has 3 national championships and 902 career wins. And you haven't even coached your first game as a head coach yet. If I'm Fred Glass, I'm going, maybe putting him on zero tolerance.
Well, here's the thing. Let's not jump to, and I'm going to play the other side of the coin for just a moment, if we can. And again, what Josh is speaking of is an interview that was conducted by basically the new sheriff in town, Kevin Wilson. And see, here, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that he has to establish a foundation of who he is and what he's about, and what kind of a program that he's bringing. Now, first of all, being compared to Bobby Knight, I can think of far worse people to be compared to. You know, Bobby Knight, and I still maintain this today, I'm a huge Bobby Knight fan. As a coach, as an educator, now, was his methods a little unorthodox? Of course. Nobody's going to argue that Bobby Knight had a temper. Nobody's going to argue that Bobby Knight got in your face. Nobody's going to argue about the fact that Bobby Knight pushed you to your limits. And nobody's going to argue about the fact that Bobby Knight had his own style of coaching. That said, he was able to take that style of coaching and have, you know, one of the best winningest records in the NCAA. He has the highest grad, even today, yet today he still maintains this record. He has the highest graduation percentage of his athletes graduating. He has the highest retaining rate of students. Now here's the thing, you know, and I equate this to when I was in the Army and we were in boot camp and different training situations. We had drill sergeants, and I'm sure those are listeners of ours that have been in the military and know the military structure and how it's set up. You got to remember, Bobby Knight also coached at West Point. Okay, so I mean, if he was good enough for the U.S. Army, okay, think about it like this: when you're in combat training or basic training, or you're in your advanced combat training and you're pushed to your limits and somebody's in your face, I could tell you one thing: when the bullets start firing, then you don't panic and you know how to handle the situation. So that said, I want to make sure that when we compare somebody to Bobby Knight, that we compare somebody to Bobby Knight in the right way, not just because he happens to have a bad temper. Now, Kevin Wilson is coming in here as the new guy in town, defending The Rock, which is a huge foundational thing for IU. IU's football program was absolutely crumbling underneath his feet, quite literally, until Coach Kemp come in and, tragically he died of a brain tumor, and he developed the tradition of The Rock. Now we have Memorial Stadium out there, which is a brand new, beautiful state-of-the-art stadium. We have top-notch recruits coming to Indiana University. We've been to a bowl game. We're winning games now. Now, does the program need improvement? Absolutely, the Indiana University football program needs improvement. And the thing is, you know, maybe this isn't the year where they'll go to, and I use this quite just loosely, metaphorically to explain a big bowl, that they'll go to the Rose Bowl. By no means am I saying that IU is ready for the Rose Bowl. What I am saying is that they've been to a bowl game and they've won some key games against some key matchups inside of the Big Ten. Now, we've got a new coach, we've got a new sheriff in town. It's his job to come in and not only start his own legacy, but continue the legacy that's already started. So when you have media people too, and Josh and I are in the media, and various people that we talk to in the media also have a job to ask questions. Okay, now you have always in media, you have always got to be ready for that answer, whether that's good or whether that's bad. And I just think quite plainly, I think that what you had was a situation where he was asked a question, he didn't respond. They then begin to, whatever, crucify him publicly and use the power of the mic. The old saying is, don't piss off the guy with the mic or the website. Well, maybe not. But at the same time, you know, after Wilson was off the air, Trudeau said this, the fact of the matter is their program stinks and it has stunk. And anyone from Indiana that wants to argue the other side of that, you're full of it. And for him to come out on this show and act this way is pathetic. He's a head coach, and he has to recruit and anyone who heard him would go, that guy's an ass. That's just not right. I said my kids is going to IU. Wilson needs to call and apologize. Now, that's what Trudeau said after Wilson. At the very least, people are talking about IU football again, which is a very, very rarity at this time of year, Josh. So my hats go off, and I say, Coach Wilson, you did a great job on handling a situation when the bullets were firing. You didn't panic, and you basically stood your ground and said, this is how our program is going to be. We want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516, or you can certainly comment on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Josh?
Well, I can certainly, I guess, see that side of the story as far as the Coach Wilson, Jack Trudeau storyline goes. But here's my point. If I'm Fred Glass, I say, okay, so you're trying to build up the football program. Right now you look like you have to, looks like you're mouthing off, putting up this big angry front because you know your team's not very good. I'm fine with that. But here's the deal. You need to be careful who you argue with. It's one thing to argue with Jack Trudeau, it's a totally different thing to argue with an RA. I don't know your feelings on that, Tom. I guess I can get past the Jack Trudeau story. But as a head football coach at Indiana University, how dare you berate or cuss out an RA for any reason? That is absolutely unacceptable. It should not be tolerated.
Well, let's talk about it like this, Josh. He's an RA. Come on. He's an RA. He's nothing more than an RA. Keep saying RA again. Say it again, Josh. All he is an RA. He's not anybody that matters in the big scheme of the college football program, okay? He's a hall monitor. He's a hall police officer. I mean, come on. Okay, they had a disagreement. Let's not base Kevin Wilson's legacy before it even begins on his argument with an RA, Josh. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I look forward to the Coach Wilson era at Indiana University. I think he's a great hire, the great guy. I do think maybe we got to keep in mind maybe he does have a bit of an anger problem. Maybe he's just trying to get his team fired up, get them to believe in themselves. The only part of that argument, that whole conversation that Jack Trudeau handled with any type of class, any type of dignity, it wasn't just Wilson who got this wrong, was the fact that IU football has stunk. IU football has been really bad for many, many years. It's basically been a diversion to get the basketball season. There's absolutely no reason that Indiana University cannot win 8 football games a year. So that part of the story he got right. I think at the end of the day, Kevin.
No, that's fine. And I absolutely, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the way I look at it, IU's easy targets. Let's pick on IU because they haven't won any ball games. We get a new coach in there. Let's see what he can do. let's not crucify him and baptize him by fire because he has a conversation that's somewhat controversial with the local media. And let's not crucify him because he has a run-in with an RA. Let's not call him Bobby Knight. Let's call him Bobby Knight when he starts winning ball games. Let's not call him Bobby Knight because he happens to have a bad temper. Maybe he's under a lot of stress trying to develop a new program and trying to start a new program off. Here's the thing. It's like I just said. It's no secret that IU football has been the laughingstock of the Big Ten for a long, long time. Okay, that has to change. Is Kevin Wilson the Messiah in that? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. He put the world on notice. Indiana football will no longer be a laughing matter. He also said that when he took the reins over the program in December, it was going to be – it has been a tear in the basement of IU, basically. It is time to turn the program around. Kevin Wilson is here. He's serious. He's all about business. Let's see what he can do. Let's not nail him to the cross just yet.
I would totally agree. Now, let's transition. We've been talking about releasing the top 25 for 2 weeks now. I don't believe Indiana University will be in the top 25 this year. I am going to predict they will be in a bowl game. It'll be a fairly nice bowl game, and they'll be in the top 25 in the 2012 season. That being said, it is time to finally release the balance's preseason top 25 for 2011. At number one, we put LSU from the SEC. They are the only college football program to ever win the national title with two losses in a season. They play in the always hard, always competitive SEC. And anybody who can manage to stand up and win that conference title game deserves a shot at the national title, regardless of how many losses that team may have. Number two, coincidentally, is Oklahoma University, which just lost Kevin Wilson and several other assistants who came to Indiana University with him. But they have quarterback Landry Jones. Phenomenal young man, phenomenal testimony. He's a phenomenal football player. He's probably the second or third best quarterback in the country this year. Number three, we have the Oregon Ducks. The team with the craziest uniforms in all of NCAA football. They lost the national title game last year. At number four, we have Alabama, the Crimson Tide, another team from the SEC, coached by sure-to-be Hall of Fame football coach Nick Saban. At number five, we have my pick to win the national championship, Stanford, led by quarterback Andrew Luck. If you haven't seen Andrew Luck play, to me, he looks like Peyton Manning did 13 years ago, maybe a little bit taller and a little bit stronger. He may not be John Elway-esque yet. John Elway's another legendary Stanford quarterback, but Andrew Luck is well on his way to being John Elway-esque. Number six, I put the Ohio State Buckeyes, being led under interim coach Lance Frickle. At number seven, we have Oklahoma State. Number eight, we have Texas A&M. Number nine, we have the Michigan State Spartans. I think a team that has a chance to get up there and win the national title, if they can get past Nebraska, which is a big challenge. Nebraska's coming into the Big Ten this year, and they want to win it all. At number 10, we have Wisconsin. At number 11, we have Florida State. Number 12, we have Arkansas in the first year post-Ryan Mallett. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'll come back and release teams 13 through 25.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, TBalance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, welcome.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome to the Balanced Gridiron. The following takes place between the hours of 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. real time.
Welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron Report. On the line with us, we have our faithful sidekick, Gary Snyder. Gary, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing well. So I hear you're quite the Ball State football expert.
Well, maybe not as much now as I used to be. It's been a while since I've been there and played there, but still try to keep up with them.
So Ball State University.
Well, Gary, go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so Ball State University is debuting a new coach this year. Did you say you played at Ball State, Gary? I was unaware of that.
In the late, mid to late 80s. And I guess I just dated myself.
Back to parachute pants.
No comment there. Now, I do have one question for you guys. Today is the anniversary of the death of Dimebag Darrell. Have you done any tributes to Dimebag today?
We have not, and I'm glad you brought that up. And you know what? I had that like on the tip of my Google search when we were doing show prep, and we got started talking about something else, and I totally forgot about that. So see, Gary, that's why you're such a perfect So you're such a perfect addition. So we're gonna let you handle that. Go right ahead.
I've just everybody, you know, if you have a dime bag, break it out today for, I guess, smoke one for a tribute to Dimebag Darrell, who passed away this day in 2004.
Oh my goodness. How we digress here on this show, absolutely. It's a good thing. You know, we've got Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel show. He'll be coming on here at 10 o'clock. And I just got a text from him. He'll be calling in. He'll love that. And so we'll make sure that we talk about him. I don't know if you're going to be able to stay on through that or not. But Jason Hammer is always a great guy to have on the show. He's always fun. He always brings the borderline, should we go there or not, conversation. Now, I know you want to get a little bit of time with us today, Gary, and I know, Josh, you have some questions about Notre Dame and Ball State. I know that you provided us with some great sound clips from Media Day out there at Notre Dame University. And what I want you to do is I know that now let me get these names straight. Which one is your stepdad?
My stepdad, who used to be a professional golfer, now he runs a lumber company, but he has been in the business of taking pictures for quite a long time. So he is the Gary Snyder Show official photographer. So he gets the Notre Dame and any photo passes that we get and takes some great pictures that we use for our website.
And what's his name?
Jeff Lanky.
Okay. Well, Jeff was up at Media Day, Josh, and what I want to do is I'm gonna play this soundbite that Gary provided us to us from Jeff out at the Notre Dame Media Day. And when we come back, Josh, I want you to jump in, and let's jump into this Notre Dame segment, because obviously there's a lot to talk about with Notre Dame. And I know, Gary, you and I talked about a little bit on your show earlier this week about the Notre Dame quarterback controversy, you know, as well as some of the other things, and obviously a brand-new coach, brand-new program with Notre Dame. And this is the soundbite from Jeff Rehnke at Notre Dame Media Day.
Hey, Jeff.
Obviously, Notre Dame has, if not the toughest football schedule, one of the toughest schedules in the nation. Do you believe your talent level is championship caliber this year?
You know, it doesn't matter if I believe it. It's what our players believe in, and we believe in them. You know, as I said, our weaknesses are in depth. I'll put my 22 against anybody else, but the game's not played with 22. You got to have other guys ready to go. And so we think we have some areas that we've addressed that give us more depth. But we're confident in our 22 against anybody in the country. That's not going to be good enough. You've got to develop the next level of players. And that's what we're still doing. That's why I can't be complete in everything of my evaluation of our football team, because we're still trying to develop that next group that's going to have to play for us.
All right, that was Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly. He was getting ready to enter into his second year as the head man up in South Bend, Indiana. And I personally think, and not a lot of people in the country seem to be agreeing with me, that Notre Dame has an outside shot at the national championship. Granted, the schedule is tough. Most of the tough games are at home. They have some tough games against USC, against Stanford, and apparently Navy has Notre Dame's number the last few years. But, Gary, what type of shot do you give Notre Dame at the national title? Do you think they have a shot this year, or is it another 8-win and be happy with the season?
Yeah, I think they have an outside shot. Obviously, they have to go up to Michigan, which always presents a huge problem for them. Although in recent history, you know, the away team seems to have, I guess, the number of the home team in that series. So, yeah, they have an outside chance. And when you listen to Coach Brian Kelly talk about his team this year, he likes his chances if it was 22-22. But unfortunately, there are going to be injuries. And if they can stay healthy, and I think that's what Brian Kelly was getting at, you know, they have a realistic shot. He likes his defense. He likes his depth on defense. But when you get over to the offensive side of the ball, and he said this in a couple other questions during that press conference, you're looking at you know, maybe not as much depth on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, a couple of great quarterbacks in Dane Crist and Tommy Rees. And you got Floyd back. You got the boy from Fort Wayne at tight end. But once you get past that initial starting 11, as Brian Kelly said in that piece, there's not a whole lot of depth right there.
And I would agree with that.
I was just going to say, Gary, and I know we talked about this quarterback issue and this quarterback controversy out there in Notre Dame University, and Josh, you can chime in on this as well. I don't know that there's a big, and I think I said this on your show too, I don't think that there's a big controversy here. I think that they both are great quarterbacks. They both have their own styles. Has Kelly made a decision on who the man's going to be to take the snaps up there in South Bend? Or are we still waiting to find out who that's going to be? And if we know, Gary, do you agree with that decision?
Well, I don't think we know yet. I think all the latest media reports indicate that some decision or announcement will be made. My guess is the decision's been made, but it looks like the announcement is forthcoming on Tuesday. And, you know, you got the experience of Dane Crist with the, you know, I'm not going to say inexperienced. He did play well heading down the stretch and led Notre Dame to quite a few wins, big wins, and including the big bowl win over the U. You know, it's tough to say. Both offer a little bit different qualities than the both seem to be drop back passers. You know, when I watched Dane Chris play last year versus Tommy Rees, Tommy Rees seemed to have a little bit more confidence than Dane. Dane made some pretty poor decisions in the time that he had that led to some of those losses. So, you know, that's a coin flip. You know, I'm not there every day. Brian Kelly, you know, he's got a history of picking the right quarterback. So whichever one he chooses, you know, I don't have a problem with.
All right, for the second week in a row, Gary, we need to get your opinion on a fallen Notre Dame football star. I don't even know if you're aware of this. But yesterday afternoon, former Notre Dame defensive standout, and Dwayne Ellick, who in 2006 tried to make the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, and he was cut in training camp, was arrested on charges of sleeping with a student that was in one of his classes at the high school where he was teaching in Tampa Bay. What type of football player was he, and did you ever get a chance to meet him? And did you see anything, if you did meet him, that would indicate that he would run into trouble later in life?
You know, I did not know him. I didn't even know about his death. You know, it's always unfortunate. Again, I go back to some of these issues where football players or athletes, elite athletes, are coddled from, you know, sometimes as early as 7, 8 years old. And when you're coddled like that and given everything you want, and when you do face some adversity in your life outside of the sporting arena, they're not, I guess, they're not fixed to deal with it. They're not taught to deal with adversity outside of the sporting arena. And a lot of times, unfortunately, this is what you get.
Do you think these incidents will have any impact on Notre Dame this year?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Do you think these arrests will have any impact on Notre Dame's reputation and image moving forward, or do you think people will view them as an isolated incident?
I think they'll view them as an isolated incident. I think people are a little, at least from what I hear, a little more concerned about Michael Floyd still being on the football team than, you know, the former coach that shot himself or this guy. These are players from the past, so... you know, I think more people are focused on the players that are there now and not what these players do after they leave.
And that brings me exactly, you must have read my mind or read my notes here, Gary, because that's exactly where I was going with this conversation was with Michael Floyd. Now, Brian Kelly obviously suspended him after his arrest. Brian Kelly has now reinstated him. Brian Kelly strikes me as the type that gives the guy the second chance that he feels like he deserves it. And we talked with your stepfather the other day on your show about this situation, and he feels like Mike Floyd has won his second chance, feels like he's learned a lot, and that this is an isolated incident with him, and that he this was kind of an eye-opener. Would you agree that he has chosen the right path, or do you think that maybe this is just, hey, I'm just going to say what I need to say so I can get back on the field type situation?
Yeah, who knows? Time will tell. Coach Kelly thought he was sincere and was saying all the right things for all the right reasons. But, you know, if halfway through the season he's arrested again or caught drunk or whatever the case may be, then obviously it wasn't a correct decision. Brian Kelly is closest to the player, and again, at this point, I'll trust his decision, although I think if it were someone other than Michael Floyd, maybe not a lesser-known player or someone without the abilities of Michael Floyd, you know, I wonder if the same outcome would have happened.
Right, and one more question on Notre Dame, and then because I know we've only got a limited amount of time with you, we want to get in some Ball State talk here with you. But we're releasing our top 25 teams, and I know Josh has got them ranked a little bit differently than I do. But in my top 25, still I have Notre Dame as number 14, and I think with all of this, if Michael Floyd can get out there and do what he's supposed to do, and if they can get this quarterback situation resolved and all the pieces to the puzzle come together, this finally might be the season that the Irish have the breakthrough that we've been looking for, especially with the help of Michael Floyd returning to school and returning to the field. And obviously he has a lot of promise. What can we look for from Notre Dame? Do you think that number 14 in our top 25 is too high, too low, or about right?
You know, I think it's about right. You know, preseason top 25s are just that, preseason. None of these teams have really proven anything as of yet. You know, if Notre Dame goes out on week one and gets run by Skip Holtz in South Florida, then obviously it was wrong. But if they go out and win their first four or five games, then the ranking seemed to be probably correct and maybe needs to be a little higher. I'm always dubious of the preseason rankings. You know, if you start out too low but run the table, you really don't have a chance to win the national championship. So, you know, I really hate these preseason rankings. I hate the rankings, period. I think there needs to be at least some type of playoff instead of this stupid bowl system.
I would absolutely agree with that.
Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say I would absolutely agree with that. Now, moving over to another in-state school, Ball State University hired Pete Limbo from Elon University. Do you know anything about him, Gary? And more importantly, do you know anything about Elon University and why they went to such a small school to get a football coach?
You know, I do not. You know, we had an interview with Doug Mallory, the Indiana University assistant head coach and defensive coordinator. And he seems to like Ball State's pick there. And, you know, the guy seems to be a very offensive-minded coach. He seemed to like the offense that he ran at Elon. So, I don't follow him as close as I used to. They start off against Indiana, two lower ranked schools in Indiana. So the battle of the toilet bowl, I guess. And we'll see who wins the recognition of not being Indiana's worst team in that first game.
Well, you missed our first segment here when we were talking about Coach Wilson's issues out there at IU and how IU has been the laughingstock of the football in Indiana and the Big Ten. But I think, and personally, when we're talking going back to Ball State here, I think Ball State has had a good program that's been developing over the years, and they certainly have played some good teams, some good matchups, and have beaten some good teams. Do you think Pete Limbo can continue that and take them into a new era of even a bowl game this year?
I don't know about a bowl game, but just, again, we talked with Doug Mallory from the Indiana Hoosiers, and he seemed to like the pick of Limbo. So, you know, without knowing a whole lot about Alana or Limbo, you know, if the opposing coach seems to like the pick, and, you know, obviously Ball State is down from a few years ago when they were nationally ranked and were even, you know, talked about in a national championship. You know, as someone who went there and played there, I'd love to see him get back to that prominence.
Oh, I absolutely would too. And I think, and I'm a Ball State fan just as a fan. I'm an IU alumni, so I have to go with IU first, and then, of course, Notre Dame, and then Ball State, and then Indiana State, and Purdue all the way at the end. But that's neither here nor there. But that's because I'm an IU alumni. But really, I think Limbo has, you know, he's kind of been underneath the radar. He's won a lot of games. He's 79-36 in 10 seasons as a head coach. I mean, big school, little school, whatever, that's a pretty good record wherever you're at. And I know that when in his news conference and when they introduced him, he certainly emphasized the importance of building relationships and recruiting inside of Indiana and the surrounding area. My question lies with him on this. Great that you're going to recruit from schools from here in Indiana. But you got guys, and Josh, I know you're a big Ben Davis guy, so you can chime in on this too. You got guys that play for Ben Davis that are great college athletes. Let's face it, Ben Davis High School is just a little college inside of Indianapolis that wears the name of high school. So that you've got some great players inside of Ben Davis organization. I use them as a team that a new coach would look at. They're not wanting to go to Ball State. They're wanting to go to University of Miami. They're wanting to go to your Auburns and your Alabamas and your Notre Dames. So what does Pete Limbo have to offer? We're a small campus inside of Muncie, Indiana. Everybody knows you. Great community. Everybody loves you. You're going to be loved. You're going to get some playing time. But playing in the MAC-10 as opposed to playing in the SEC or even the Big Ten or the ACC, that's a big difference when getting key players to recruit to commit to Ball State. That's a challenge.
And I would agree with that. You're going to get you're not going to get those blue chips, or at least not a lot of them playing at Ball State. Although the MAC and some of these mid majors, and you've seen this in basketball and to football to some extent, tend to be putting on some pretty good shows, bringing in some pretty good coaches. The unfortunate part is, you know, if you have one or two great seasons in the MAC, you usually get moved up to a very poor Big Ten or SEC team, and there seems to be a lot of turnover in coaches at that mid-major level.
I would agree with that, but one coach who left Ball State University, and he went over to San Diego State, and he was phenomenal there. And I want to get your opinion, Gary, on what type of coach he'll make in the Big Ten. Is Brady Hoke. Now, he's a former Wolverine football player, and he did wonders at Ball State University. He got him 12-0. I believe they lost the bowl game that year. That was, in fact, the year they had Nate Davis as a senior on the team. So do you think he can turn Michigan around, or do you think he'll be kind of like Rich Rodriguez there for 3 years, and that's the accent he's done?
You know, I love Brady Hoke and his ability to turn around a team. When you look at what he did at Ball State, the number one thing that he did, I mean, it wasn't running the offense or the defense. It was recruiting, getting the people that he had there. You know, I will always be a Brady Hoke fan, and unfortunately he went to Michigan instead of someplace that I could root for. But I think Michigan made the right choice there. I think when people look at what Rich Rod did to that program, will Brady Hoke turn it around this year? Probably not, but there are a lot of positive vibes coming from Ann Arbor. And I think in the end, Brady Hoke was a great choice. And, you know, you can't root against Brady Hoke.
Now, Gary, before we let you go here, I know you've got a lot going on. You're a man of high demand and great esteem and great honor to have you on our show. What I don't want to do is
I'll send the check for saying that.
What I want to do is chime in real quickly on just a couple quick things with you with the NFL and fantasy football. I know you couldn't quite get involved with our league. We have a draft tonight, but you told me you played. Did you tell me you did play fantasy football or you didn't?
I played fantasy football 1 year. That was last year.
Okay, what are you going to play this year in some league somewhere?
You know, I'm signed up. I have not activated it yet. You know, to me, it just takes a lot of time, and time is not something I have a lot of right now.
Well, I guess really what I wanted to get from you is who do you think your fantasy studs are, and what do you think that if your fantasy draft is tonight, as is ours or others, who would you draft in your first round of draft picks for your fantasy football league?
I would take Aaron Rodgers. That was my quarterback last year, and if it weren't for him missing a couple of games in the middle of the season, I probably would have been our fantasy league champ. Running back, I like the guy from Tennessee or Arian Foster from the Texans. The defensively, I would probably go with I have the Jets last year. I don't think that's I think that would probably be another solid pick. Obviously, I would not go with the Colts defense in any way, shape, or form. And wide receiver, you know, how can you go against Chad Ochocinco when he has Tom Brady throwing to him?
Oh, absolutely. Josh, I want you to answer the same question because I don't want you to release too much of your draft strategy because you're going to be out of BW3s with me tonight drafting. So, actually, no, I do want you to totally release your strategy on what your draft pick and what your draft style is going to be. Now, see, I personally like to go. A lot of guys like to go with the quarterback first and like to go – I go with my running backs first because in our league, those are the ones that score you the most points. And I think you need to look at some key running backs first. I don't draft a quarterback until later on. Let's face it, a quarterback is good, but there's only so many Peyton Mannings, Tom Brady's, and Aaron Rodgers. Okay, so if you can get them, that's great. Aaron Rodgers, fantasy stud. I know, Josh, you and I talked about this earlier this week about Aaron Rodgers being the number one pick. Maybe he will, maybe he wouldn't. He wouldn't be my number one pick, but I could see why he would be a number one pick. Josh, who do you got there?
I'm going to stick with Aaron Rodgers. And if Aaron Rodgers is off the board by the time I pick, I'll go with Chris Johnson, the running back for the Tennessee Titans, Arian Foster, the running back for the Houston Texans, or a guy that I'm going to go ahead and say right now is going to rush for 1,500 yards this year and shock people, Shaun Green, the running back for the New York Jets.
You know,
okay.
I'll tell you, someone who really saved my rear end last year, and without, and again, my memory is not what it used to be. They say the mind is the second thing to go. You know, if you have an offense that maybe does not score a lot of touchdowns, and you have a very good field goal kicker, I had a field goal kicker who saved my rear end many a times last year, and I don't remember. It was the Texans kicker last year, and I'm sorry I don't recall his name at this time.
And real quick, Gary, I think we do have a caller on the line. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is John, guys. I'm just first time I heard your show, and I have a question for you. I'm currently going through a draft. It's a redraft, and it's a PPR. And I'm sitting into number seventh hole. And I got two running backs. I've got Bradshaw and I've got Foster. And so I'm looking for my third running back right now. On the board right now is Fred Jackson. He's kind of rated the highest. I'm a little skeptical with him with Spiller there. I've got Grant. You got Starks there. And then Adai, injury problems. I have the kid out of Thomas out of Miami, and now who I'm really interested in, I have Wells with the injury to Williams. The only problem with Wells, if you look at their strength of the schedule, the running back, it's like they're rated around number 30 with a really tough run schedule. I like the Miami kid, but he's not really doing that well. They're rated at number 5 for their strength of schedule. What's your guys' input? It seems like everybody says get Fred Jackson, but he scares me. 30 years old. You got that last year number one. He was picked ninth overall, Spiller was. He's got heck of talent. What do you guys think between those picks?
Well, and Gary, I'll let you go ahead and take it, and then Josh, and then I'll end with my thoughts afterwards. So go ahead, Josh. I mean, Gary, go ahead.
You know, I've always been a contrarian in most things that I do. With Joseph Adai, and I'm going to go with Joseph Adai simply for the fact he's going to be sharing a lot of time. So when he does get the ball, he's going to be a lot fresher than maybe some of those other backs. Out of the ones that you picked, I would go with Joseph Adai just simply for the fact that, you know, he's sharing time. He's going to be a lot fresher, especially late in the game. And maybe not as injury prone if he's sharing that time with Brown or a couple of the other backs that they have in camp?
Josh.
I would go with B.J. Spiller, and also later in the draft, if you can, if you want to steal, I would go with DeLon Carter, the rookie running back for the Colts, but near the very end of the draft.
Well, and I tell you what, and we've got to get to a break here and get to our next caller, but I like Gary's way of thinking, but I would stick with the, you know, I could see why you would be scared from Jackson. But I would be the conformist guy. I would play the safe bet. Jackson would be the guy that I would go with. Guys, we've got to jump to a break, and when we get back, Gary, are you gonna hang around, or you gotta go?
I could probably stay a couple more minutes.
Okay. When we get back, I believe we're gonna have Jason Hammer on the line with us. Jason, are you with us?
I am here.
All right, Jason. We'll be right back, and when we get back, we're going to dive right into the NFL. We're going to kind of break down a little bit about last night's game, the preseason game, and what all we can expect from the Indianapolis Colts and across the NFL.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
I'm waiting to do an interview on the radio, buddy.
It's time to start.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, Gridiron. We are kicking off our Gridiron show, and we have a star-studded case of guests with us. Mr. Gary Snyder from The Gary Snyder Show, Jason Hammer from The Hammer and Nigel Show, and the man, the only guy who's got his own jersey, $2 bill, Josh, who's with us every week. Guys, so glad to have you with us. Gary, and so glad that you're with us. Joining us now is the man, Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel show, the guys that take it to the limit and push it just a tad bit further. How are we doing, Jason?
I am fantastic. How are you, outstanding gentlemen, this fine Saturday morning?
We are rocking and rolling. Hey, Gary, one thing, and I bet you maybe Jason knows this. Go ahead, Gary. Tell them who we're honoring today. Are you with me, Gary?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello. We're honoring Dimebag today, but I was still expecting some kind of bumper music, but nothing.
Hey, I couldn't find my Chicken Chong music, so I have to go with just the dry intro to the lead in. I had it in my notes to have it ready because I knew Jason was calling in, and then we got started on some other stuff, Josh and I did, and I totally forgot to pull the Chicken Chong soundbite. But Josh, I mean, Jason, did you know that was such a big day today?
Is this the anniversary of the day that the dime bag checked out? Is that today?
Dime bag Daryl rolled his last one this day in 2004.
Wow. I'm sure at 4:20 today, there's going to be a moment of silence statewide.
Absolutely. Well, hey, guys, what we want to do is make sure that we take a sip of that special coffee in his honor today. Colts, Redskins last night. Jason, Gary, Josh, what did you guys take from it?
To be honest, you know, I know that everybody is starting to think that the sky is falling, and yes, they do look awful. First-team defense did get shredded, but, you know, we've been down this rodeo before. And you guys, you know, some of you guys know me pretty well. I'm not what you would call a homer. If there's a problem with the home team, I have no problem, you know, popping off at the mouth and being that guy. But at the risk of sounding like one right now, we've been down this road before, and until we see this kind of play, either with Peyton in the lineup or 2 to 3 weeks into the regular season, I'm not going to be one of these guys that says it's hellfire and brimstone and the Colts are old and it's the Texans time. And, you know, let's just wait. It happens every year. I know at this point every year everybody gets their undies in a wad and you turn on ESPN and everybody's foaming at the mouth talking about the demise of the Indianapolis Colts, but just wait. Be patient. Let's see how this plays out at least 2 to 3 weeks into the regular season. Because just like last year, guys, I think I joined you before the opener last year. I made the prediction that coming off an awful preseason, opening up on the road at the Houston Texans, which the Colts do again, a very losable game. I think they will lose that game, but I don't really think that has anything to do with the preseason. Playing at Houston is tough. It's a division rival on the road. It's tough. The Colts will probably drop that one. Everybody's going to jump off the bandwagon, but by week 10 of the regular season, the blue and the white will be in first place in the division.
Oh, absolutely. Gary, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you can't argue with that. I think I saw a stat last night that the Colts have lost more preseason games since 2005 than they've lost in the regular season. My only concern with the Colts is when you go back a couple of years ago with Peyton's knee injury, it did take him a while to get revved up in the regular season when he did not have that preseason reps. So that would be my only concern, that maybe the start of the season here, you may see a very rusty Peyton Manning. But, by week 7, 8, 9, I think he's in mid-season form, and the Colts will be just fine.
Josh?
I'm not going to panic. You know, the Colts are 0-2, but I saw several great things in the first two games. There's several positives. I love this new kickoff rule, as the Colts are traditionally not been able to stop anybody on kickoff coverage. And now we got Pat McAfee, who could just sit there and kick the ball out of the back of the end zone every time we kick off. I absolutely love that. John Chick looks to be another undrafted player who looks like he's going to be a stud on the defensive line. I think DeLone Carter may very well unseat Dominic Brown as the backup running back. I also like our depth in the secondary. They're all young, but I think Kevin Thomas looks good. I think Bullitt still getting back in shape. It doesn't look like maybe he worked out that hard during the offseason. He's not as fast as he used to be. It also looks like we have some decent depth at linebacker. Now, what concerns me is if Manning gets hurt, neither Orlovsky or Painter showed anything in either one of the first two preseason games. And this time, Curtis Painter can't say he didn't have Dallas Clark and the first-string starters out there with him. I just think it's time we start looking at some other teams that have multiple backups, considering a trade. Maybe trading for Rex Grossman to be the backup?
Well, here's the thing, and before we get into this whole discussion about the heir to the throne to number 18, I know that Gary, you've been with us, and you need to go. You've got a lot going on. Tell us real quick how we can find the Gary Snyder Show.
Several different ways. GarySnyderShow.com is the easiest way. You find out what we're going to talk about, who our guests are. We're on 1400 WBAT weekdays 3 to 6 and 860 WMRI, the ESPN version of the show. Right now we have a contest going on our Facebook page where you can win up to $200 and a free gun. How about that?
I'm all about winning a free gun. Jason, what about you? You about winning a free gun?
$200 and or a free gun is what we call a fun Saturday night in Beech Grove, Indiana.
You know, right, I, w- I, w- I went to the station owners and I said, hey, one of my advertisers wants to give away a free gun, and I thought it was a great idea.
Does that come with a 40-ounce of PBR, too, so you can really get into the spirit of things?
No, black. You get blacks with that.
Fantastic.
My question real quick on this is, when we talk about giving away a free gun, and excuse my lack of redneck knowledge here, but the thing that comes to mind is, hey, y'all, watch this. But what about those convicted felons up there that we know so well in Huntington and Marion, Indiana, that hang out up there?
AKA well, your P1 listeners, right?
That's right. How we get around the rule, because we give away the free gun, but no one can actually get it because of their felony convictions. Now, I actually went to the station owner, and they kind of looked at me and said, sure, let's give away a free gun. What can go wrong there? So we actually just give away a gift certificate, and he prices a gun that you can buy with that gift certificate.
And then they've got to do the background check.
Exactly.
And real quick before Gary hangs up, I do believe next Saturday Tom's going to be on vacation. I believe it's me and you hosting the show next Saturday, Gary.
Yeah, I'll have to get back with you on that. I have to look at my schedule. But yeah, I'll let you know Monday or Tuesday for sure.
Sounds good. Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show. Gary, you're always more than welcome here on The Balance, and we appreciate you stopping by, buddy.
And we'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, sounds good. Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show. Speaking of great talents with us right now is Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Jason, please educate those of us that, and I'm not one of them, but there are a very select few men out there that don't know about your show. Tell us about the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Well, basically, what I've done is I've teamed up with my friend Nigel. Most people would probably know him from X103, his days at Radio Now here in Indianapolis. We've gotten together just as two, radio guys here from the city that remember the way radio used to be, where you could tell a joke about the waitress that you saw this morning with the huge cans. You could make a joke about somebody passing gas, and it wasn't hellfire and brimstone. You could say a few choice words here and there, and it wasn't the end of the world. We've taken that concept of the way things used to be, and we've kind of taken it a step further because it's a podcast and a web show. We do it from a bar called Coach's Tavern every Thursday night at 9 p.m. It's right across from Conseco Fieldhouse, right across the street from Scotty's, Coach's Tavern. It's at 9 p.m. We have local celebrities, local guests each and every week. It's completely uncensored, and check us out online at hammerandnigel.com. And it's spelled out, hammerandnigel.com. All the shows are there. We're always posting fun, stupid, kind of highly inappropriate content. And you can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/hammerandnigel. And Twitter is @hammerandnigel.
Do you get to give away a gun? That's what I want to know.
How does the promotional department, even approach you with that? I mean, are these the same people that brought you, a bag of cocaine a day for the month of May? How do you get away with giving away a GAT?
I have no idea. Be the 13th caller and get yourself an Uzi. I'm not sure.
It's an all-cocaine Wednesday here at the Gary Allen Show.
That's right. Have some of that. Remember, 420 today for that moment of silence.
Well, I'll pour some out for my homie. Thank you.
That's right. On to more and bigger, better things. Josh, I know one of the things that we were talking about, and we'll just kind of shift topics, and we'll get back to the NFL in just a second, because I certainly always love to hear Jason's input on the Heisman Trophy candidates. Josh, what I want to know from you is who you think the Heisman Trophy candidates are going to be for 2011. And Jason, go ahead.
Well, I think there's going to be five of them. And I think there's one that unless he loses four games, there's nobody that's going to touch him. Andrew Luck is a clear-cut Heisman favorite. He's clearly the best player in college football. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. I wish there was a way the Colts could get up there to draft him. The only way I could see that happening would be require some package of Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, and some other players that we would be sacrificing in order to even have a shot to get up to the number one pick. Also, LaMichael James. Landry Jones from Oklahoma. I think Kellen Moore from Boise State has a chance. I think Marcus Lattimore has a chance. And if by some chance all the dominoes fall right, Brian Kelly is the Messiah, look for Tommy Reese to have a chance to get in the Heisman race.
Jason?
I'm not really ready to go out that far yet. I like Brian Kelly an awful lot, but let's not get carried away. And also, I mean, off subject, I don't really think the Colts need Andrew Luck, to be honest. I think their heir apparent to Peyton Manning's probably in high school right now. But that's neither here nor there. If I had to go to Las Vegas right now and bet the mortgage on the Heisman Trophy winner, which, as you guys know, sometimes isn't necessarily the best player in the country, but you end up being on the best team, I would have to put money on Landry Jones of Oklahoma. They're the preseason number one. The AP poll will be coming out soon. They should be atop of that as well. All they basically have to do is beat Texas this year, and they've got a golden ticket to the BCS championship game because the Big 12 is soft. Nebraska's already in the Big 10. They beat Texas, and they even still may have an easiest road to the national championship game of anybody in the country. And usually when you're the quarterback of a team like that and you're the go-to guy, you're going to get the accolades. And if I had to put money down, unless he gets hurt, it's going to be hard for Landry Jones to lose that. But I agree, the best player in the country is Andrew Luck.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. I honestly like the fact of Luck. I like him a lot. I think he's a good quarterback, and I think it's his trophy to lose. I mean, he's obviously the best quarterback in the country, and I'm going to say he's going to be the number one draft pick next year unless something changes. So for him to not get the Heisman Trophy, Josh and Jason, I would be highly wondering why and scratching my head. But like you said, Jason, not everybody is the best player out there that gets the trophy. I do like Marcus Lattimore as well, running back with South Carolina. If the Gamecocks, can either can make an appearance in the SEC title, I think that he has every shot of winning it. Josh, what are your thoughts about Lattimore and Gamecock? I'm just trying to say Gamecock, Jason. I'm trying to see how many times I can say Gamecock.
Lattimore is a great talent. He's somebody I think every Colts fan would agree that when he's in the draft, if we could get a shot at him, he'd be a great fit. Here's somebody I left off my Heisman list. He has a really good chance to win it. Maybe he was the best running back on Alabama's team last year, and I know the Saints gave up a whole bunch of draft picks to move up to take Ingram. But I think Trent Richardson has a great chance to win the Heisman, especially if Alabama can go undefeated.
Absolutely. He took the words right out of my mouth. I was getting ready to say the same thing. If you're looking for a dark horse, I know Bama's going to be in the post-Mark Ingram era, but that's a great, phenomenal running back with an NFL almost offensive line down there in Bama. So, again, if you're in the SEC and you're the go-to guy for a program like Bama and you're that young, chances are you've got some game.
Okay, well, Jason, what I want to do is get back on the NFL topic here real quick because I do want to make sure that we look at the Colts organization. And by looking at it on paper, every Colts fan out there is like, you're right, the sky is falling. We've got to get the heir apparent to Peyton Manning. And like you said, he very well might be in high school. I think we got another good 3 to 4 years left with Peyton Manning. Of course, he signed a 5-year contract. He's the highest paid athlete out there in the NFL right now. Obviously earned every dime. Obviously a first round Hall of Famer. But realistically, as a Colts fan, as a member of the media, as someone that looks at this and analyzes this, Jason and Josh, where are we at with Peyton Manning realistically? Obviously, number 18 is going to say, I'm ready to go. There's no problem. Don't worry about it, guys. Everything's going to be behind the scenes. But everything's going to be fine. But behind the scenes, Peyton is saying, man, that hurts. So what are your thoughts?
You know, to be honest with you, if you look around the NFL right now, look at some of the guys that are starting in the National Football League this year. I mean, just take a look at some of the guys that are starting in the league. Andy Dalton, Chad Henne. I mean, some of these guys, John Beck or Rex Grossman, either way, some of these guys are just garbage. And you have to ask yourself at this point, and I know we've kind of got blinders on because we live here in central Indiana, but if Peyton Manning is just, for argument's sake, 50%. Say his neck hurts like a mother, he's still out there getting it done. Would you rather have Peyton Manning at 50% with the weapons he has here, or do you want to take your chances with somebody else? And I'll be honest, I'll take my chances with number 18.
Oh, absolutely. Josh?
I would absolutely agree with that, but I don't think our air replacement is in high school. And a lot of this might make a whole lot of people in St. Louis mad what I'm about to say. Enjoy Sam Bradford while you have him before he moves to Lucas Oil Stadium in about 4 years. And he's the highest paid player. And I sincerely believe Sam Bradford will eventually replace Peyton Manning under center for the Colts.
Do you think that Sam Bradford is the heir apparent to the number 18 Peyton Manning, Josh? Is that what you're saying?
I'm predicting that right now. I don't see any reason why he'd want to stay in St. Louis there. And if they couldn't put a team together if they had to.
I like Sam Bradford a lot. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he could be the Peyton Manning for St. Louis. I don't think he's ever going to leave St. Louis. I think that they're building a team around him, and they're giving it, because let's look at what happened last year with the St. Louis Rams. They turned the season around, and they are coming back this year even stronger. And I know it's just preseason; they beat the Colts, but still, they look good on paper going into this year. Jason, wouldn't you agree?
And you're right. And they've added Josh McDaniels as their offensive coordinator. And if there's any quarterback's best friend, it's Josh McDaniels. So you know they're going to throw the ball. They've got great compliments at running backs now. Steven Jackson's got a great compliment with Cadillac. They've added some receivers. They've got great young receivers. There's no way, and again, with all due respect, I could be wrong, but I will gladly take that bet that Sam Bradford will be in Indianapolis in 4 years, because there's no way St. Louis is letting that guy go. Right now, he's the second highest paid player in the NFL, just based on the way that the salary structure works around the league. And if you want to get conspiracy theory here, there's rumors and all this going around that the next NFL franchise that possibly goes to Los Angeles is either going to be the San Diego Chargers or the St. Louis Rams. So if you're the St. Louis Rams and the stars are aligned and you move back to Los Angeles where you were originally, City of Los Angeles is not going to let Sam Bradford go. That guy's going to get signed, sealed, and delivered. He's going to be a Ram for a long, long time.
I absolutely 100% agree with you on that. And here's the thing. I love your analogy, and I have thought the same thing about the Rams returning to Los Angeles. That is a huge, huge media thing waiting to happen. The money's there. St. Louis doesn't have the money. They struggled to keep the Cardinals there, which obviously will never go anywhere. I think that you're absolutely right that the Rams move out to Los Angeles with Sam Bradford. Now, that said, we've got to logically understand that we cannot always have number 18 doing miracles for us. So in the life in the next few years to come, without Peyton Manning, you've got to think that they want to get somebody, because it's such a complex organization, such a complex playbook. Obviously, every quarterback, any young quarterback out there would be honored to be the next quarterback, but to step into Peyton Manning's shoes, that's got to be a terrifying situation. So that said, I think that they're going to have to start developing somebody soon. So who do you think that might be? Are they already on our roster? Or do you think that they're getting ready to graduate college? Do you think that there's somebody that they're going to pick up in the draft in the next couple of years? Jason and Josh, what are your thoughts on that?
I maintain that person's in high school. You look at the injuries Peyton had, a few knee issues, a neck issue. But throughout the course of the season, it's not like you need him to be mobile. It's not Michael Vick. It's not going to be a guy that you need to run and scramble and pick up yards. As long as he can drop back, turn his head, plant and throw, he's going to be fine. I think that's going to extend his career a little bit. Peyton does not take a lot of shots. He got hit a lot last year, the most of any time in his career, but it's not a guy that takes a beating back there. So I honestly think the way that he plays, the way that the Colts have built this franchise to protect him, I still think you've got a good at least five years left in Peyton Manning. And at this point, maybe this will be different 4 years down the line. The Colts are still competing to win a Super Bowl. They may not be the favorite anymore, but I don't think it would shock anybody if they went in there and won this whole thing this year. And when you've got that window of opportunity, You've got to get every single dollar spent the right way to capitalize. And I know a lot of people want a good backup quarterback in here, a veteran guy, somebody that, you know, has started games before. But at the end of the day, the first time Peyton Manning misses a regular season game, let me know, because it hasn't happened yet since 1998. And I would rather take that money and invest it in the offensive line, invest it in the defensive line, invest it in a backup safety. Sweet mother of God, somebody to cover something on special teams. Little things like that, they can lose you playoff games. You were talking about the new kickoff rule earlier, and I agree. I think it's phenomenal. Pat McAfee is going to be a huge weapon for us. If we had that rule in place, we may have won two Super Bowls already. You know, you beat the Jets in the playoffs last year. You don't bobble the onside kick against, you know, the Rams or the Saints and all this stuff. So, I don't know. I just think that money should be better spent capitalizing while you can still win the whole thing. When Peyton Manning misses a regular season game, let me know. I'll change my tune. But until then, put the money where it's needed.
I would absolutely agree. We're getting ready to take a commercial break, and on the flip side, we're going to get into our 2011 BCS and Big Ten preview. Can you stick around, Jason?
Yeah, a few more minutes. I got you.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balanced and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. It is now time to break down the 2011 Big Ten College Football Preview. First of all, Jason, what do you think of the name of these ridiculous names for these divisions? Legends and Leaders, why not Schembechler and Hayes or anything but those two stupid names?
Yeah, I can't imagine this being around very long. And with the landscape of college football now, where so many teams are jumping conference to here to there, I wouldn't be surprised if the Big Ten wasn't finished yet and they eventually just make it an East and West or a North and South or something along those lines. But, yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest.
And what do you think of the name, Tom?
Well, I don't think it's the Big Ten anymore. Obviously, it's not the Big Ten. And I think a lot, just like everything else, and I'll get into that in my rant a little bit later on, there's so much outdated stuff with the NCAA that they need to update. I mean, I don't think they have any intentions on expanding or changing the name, but I think you're right. It's going to be something like the NFL, where you've got the East and the West. I mean, we've got 12 teams in the Big Ten. One thing I want to find out from you, Jason and Josh, When we're looking at the Big Ten this year, we've got a brand new team that's making its appearance. Obviously, not a brand new team. Obviously, been around and obviously a great program. Nebraska in the Big Ten. I think that adds a lot of media and revenue to the Big Ten. What do you think about that, and how does that affect other Big Ten schools such as IU and schools that struggle a little bit in the Big Ten conference? Either one of you.
What? I think that affects Indiana University because that's a guaranteed butt-kicking every time we play Nebraska. I'm sorry. No offense to you, Coach Wilson. I have no doubt you're going to build a great program in Indiana University. You already got Gunnar Keel, number one quarterback recruit in the country coming. Mother's Nebraska. You're Indiana University. Odds are, now don't quote me on this, the way the Big Ten traditionally treats IU, and there's been several games the past few years we should have won had there not been questionable officiating and whatnot going on. I almost guarantee every time IU plays Nebraska, it's going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well, I mean, the way that the schedule lines up, it's supposed to alternate, but I wouldn't put it past IU to sell that game to someone like they've done in the past. But I think Nebraska coming to the Big Ten, they could not have picked a better time to do so. I mean, the stars were aligned. This year, heading into this season, we thought it would be Ohio State and Nebraska competing, you know, in a great game for the Big Ten championship. Well, ultimately, Ohio State had all their drama go on, and they're still Ohio State, but they're down a little bit. Wisconsin's going to be a powerhouse. They're going to be strong, as always. But I'm telling you what, here in Indianapolis, where we're going to host the Big Ten championship game this year, the best thing that could happen is Nebraska coming to this thing because they travel well. You can remember back about 10 years ago when they went up to Notre Dame and all the Notre Dame fans sold their tickets and it was a sea of red up in South Bend. Nobody travels better than Husker Nation. Larry the Cable Guy and his group of drunken, you know, black shirts are going to be in full effect. And this is a great thing for the city because they're going to come into town, they're going to drink, they're going to spend money, they're going to eat, and they are going to beat everyone in the Big Ten this year. They're going to drop maybe one, possibly two games along the way because it seems like Nebraska does that. They start each year like a national title contender, then they unexplicably lose to somebody they shouldn't. But Taylor Martinez at quarterback, if he stays healthy, it's going to be awful tough to beat the Huskers this year.
Absolutely. I think that the Big Ten championship goes to Nebraska this year. And what you're right. What a better time. The stars align for them. Let's look at some of the other schools. Now, one of the things that I want to talk with you about, Jason and Josh, you and I talked about a little bit earlier this week on the wrap-up, is this issue with Purdue quarterback and the association with Miami. And what do you believe – I personally don't. I think, Josh, you agree with me in this, and I don't know about you, Jason, but do you believe that this quarterback at Purdue was not at all had anything to do with what was going on down there in Miami? He was offered strippers, yacht club, yachts. I think he absolutely was involved. I think he was a big fish. I mean, a little fish in a big pond, and I think they were trying to get to the big fish, and they were using him as bait. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that it's as cut and dry as the press release that Purdue released this week?
I think where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Go ahead, Josh.
I absolutely do not think that Robert Morris had no intention. I don't understand. This is another questionable call on Danny Hope's behalf. I'm puzzled how he's still the head coach in West Lafayette. Why are you so insistent on playing Robert Morris? If you play him and you win, he's guilty. You forfeit the wins. You get a black mark. There might even become allegations against Purdue that they willingly knew this, and they went ahead and they recruited a player they knew was ineligible, and then Danny Hope could get in trouble if he did, in fact, know what was going on in Miami. We could have a Purdue version of the Jim Tressel situation, maybe not as severe, but the kid's garbage anyway.
You know what? He might not be Drew Brees, but he's the best Purdue has to offer right now. I mean, you can say that he's garbage all you want, but he's the best that they've got in-house right now. And we'll see. I don't think ultimately Purdue will get in trouble for this unless, as you said, knowingly Danny Hope knew that this kid was in trouble and he brought him in anyway. But unless he doesn't know that, this is not going to fall on Purdue. This is going to fall on to the University of Miami because Purdue could just play dumb and say, we had no idea these things came out. The Yahoo report came out after he was already enrolled. They could probably skate on that. But, you know, the bottom line being, you know, Purdue needs to get healthy. Last year, Purdue was the victim of probably the worst injury bug of anybody in the country. And when you're not that good to begin with, you really can't have that go down. I think that's honestly why Danny Hope is back this year. They gave him a pass last year because let's be honest, how many teams in America could lose their starting quarterback, best running back, and All-American wide receiver and compete? You know, there's not many that could probably pull that off, especially when your talent is minimal to begin with and you're playing out of your league against teams like Ohio State and Wisconsin and so forth. So I think this is a big year for Danny Hope. I think he needs Robert Marv to stay focused. I think he needs him to stay healthy. I think a good year for Purdue is 6 wins, a lower-tier bowl. I don't think that's out of the question, but they got to get something out of Marv. I really think they really need to get him rolling.
Well, speaking of Marv and scandals and everything that's associated with, obviously, the Big Ten, you know, we look at Ohio State and everything that went on with Tressel and Pryor and the debauchery that was going on down there. My question is, first of all, I think, personally, you should look at situations, when you have situations like that happening down in Miami and Ohio State, the NCAA needs to enact a rule that says when you sign a letter of intent that you're going to come to college here, if you break the rules in any way, that you now have to repay your scholarship fund, and that should carry over to the NFL. The NFL should say, hey, you know what? We're going to jump on that with them as well. You can put a clause in your letter of intent that says if you break the rules, if you screw up, you're basically blacklisted and blackballed from the NFL. And when I say blackballed, I mean not allowed to play. That wasn't a racist comment toward NFL players.
Right. I see where you're going with it. I'm in favor of the scholarship part, but when you start tying in the NFL to the NCAA, you're just throwing a match, you know, gasoline on a match fire, because so many of these college athletes think they should be paid already, and now if they find out that, you know, the NFL is backing them and so forth and this and that, this billion-dollar corporation backing another billion-dollar corporation, they're going to want some money and they're going to continue to take money. I would refrain from that. But the scholarship thing is interesting. But the only thing that I would think of is you'd have to come up with some law, rule, legislation, whatever, that if you lose your scholarship and you can't pay it back, you can't go play somewhere else. Because we can already see, you know, a kid getting kicked off a Michigan's team and then Ohio State offering to pay for it and have him bring him in to Columbus. So there's always going to be somebody trying to beat the system, and you just have to have that law and lined up and ready to go.
Speaking of guys that beat the system. Go ahead, Josh.
What I was going to say, the situation is I do agree they should lose their scholarship, maybe be banned from playing in college again. But if you tie your collegiate scholarship to the NFL, that screams lockout, that screams lawsuit, and that screams the players are going to go, well, that's fine. You can't make us take the field on both the NFL and the collegiate level. I think that would be a even longer lockout, because they would not play until that thing got all the way through the court system, which could take a year, 2, 3 years through. I'd have to veto that idea.
Well, my only thing, the reason why I say that, and it goes back to this whole Pryor thing. I mean, now, here Pryor could screw it up in every way possible with Ohio State. Obviously, now we know it wasn't just Pryor, it was also Ohio State. So you have two parties saying, okay, it's okay to cheat because you can run fast and jump high, if you will. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to do this. And it's sending the wrong message. Now what it's basically is saying, it's okay if you screw up in college. You can now be a part of the supplemental draft in the NFL. I mean, that to me screams all kinds of – we are just screwed up from the neck up, Jason.
It does, but – at the end of the day, this is a high-profile example with Terrell Pryor. This is a guy that took money that has the ability to play in the NFL. You look at a long list of these guys at the U that just came out on the list. We heard about the guys that were in the NFL, which was about 7 or 8 that we know of took benefits and hookers and money and this and that. But there's probably about 30 or 40 guys that are not going to go to the NFL. So, I don't know. If you're going to make rules, you know, tied into the NFL and this and that, you got to keep in mind that maybe only 10% of these guys are actually going to play in the NFL. And at the end of the day, is that even worth, you know, making that part of NCAA law?
Well, before we go ahead, Josh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I totally agree, but here's what scares me, and I want to get your opinion on it, Tommy, and your opinion on it, Jason. Chris Mortensen and John Clayton have both as well as JMV from 1070 The Fan, have all given indications that they have received reports that the Colts plan to scout, talk to, and consider drafting Terrell Pryor in the supplemental draft. My question is, why?
Well, I think we need to be careful of what we hear. I know that all these experts say that, you know, they're interested in this and that, but when was the last time they were right about what the Colts were going to do? Just think about that, and that's the final thing I have to say.
Well, exactly. And here's the thing. I don't think that the Colts are going to pick up Pryor. I think that's an absolute dead-in-the-water thing. Now, Dallas, yeah, Dallas will pick him up. I mean, there's a lot of teams I think he'll get drafted by somebody. I don't know who it'll be. I mean, the Bills need some help. I mean, I think that you could look for him maybe at Baltimore and perhaps maybe Seattle, but I don't see the Colts picking him up at all. I think that you'll find some positions open for him. I think obviously that a good match for him would be the Dallas Cowboys. I think that, and I say that jokingly, but half-assed seriously too, because it's just that's the kind of element that he would excel well in that type of coaching system, in that type of environment. Maybe he's learned his lesson. You know, I don't know. One would tell. Well, before we let you go, Jason, we want to jump into some real quick fantasy football stuff. The Balance Fantasy Football League drafts tonight. Studs and duds. Who would you say would be your number one pick, and who would you say steer clear from, no matter what the hype?
I think your number one pick needs to be Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings. I know a lot of people are talking
again
about Arian Foster. A lot of people are, you know, jumping on the Chris Johnson bandwagon. I love Chris Johnson, but one, I'm not sure about that quarterback situation, and will he even sign a deal and be there on time? Number two, Arian Foster. Is he a one-hit wonder? Let's wait and see. I know the Texans throw the ball an awful lot. Let's see if he's got more than 1 year in him. I guarantee, though, that you're going to get a lot of carries from Adrian Peterson. He's going to catch a lot of the balls out of the backfield. And Donovan McNabb being quarterback, substantial upgrade from a year ago where they had, and Adrian Peterson was still a badass. That's the most surefire, locked-in-stone, guaranteed production maker you're going to have is Adrian Peterson. And in terms of a bust, if you're talking about a bust this year, be careful with either Darren McFadden or Michael Vick. Everybody's jumping on the Vic bandwagon, but would it surprise anyone if he took a shot to the ribs and missed 3 weeks in week one? He's an awful fragile guy. And number two, Darren McFadden. Again, much like Arian Foster, this is a guy that could be your one-hit wonder from a year ago. He's also injury-prone. The Raiders are a hot mess. It's a new coaching staff. That scares me. Considering where he's probably going to get drafted at, that's a big gamble for me.
And Jason, right when you came in, you were in the tail end of our conversation with a caller that called in. He was wanting Fred Jackson, and Josh, I know you wrote down the others of who he was wanting. What are your thoughts about Jackson in the draft this year?
Pick him late. I mean, don't waste a big early pick on the guy. I mean, let's not get carried away here. Sometimes we get so into fantasy and we have such an inside and we have such a, you know, I know this player is going to be good, that you can't see the forest for the trees. If you're worried about Fred Jackson as opposed to taking Steven Jackson, or if you're worried about Fred Jackson as opposed to taking, you know, I don't care, name any other starting running back in the NFL, Matt Forte, you know, slow down a little bit. That's a guy you can pick up later that could probably help you, but don't blow your draft on picking a guy you think is a sleeper. Sleepers get picked later. Make sure you get for sure, locked in stone, starters that are going to produce for you. And the biggest tip I have, being a fantasy geek myself, know your league. Because if you're in a PPR league where you're getting points per receptions, you can draft Matt Forte a little bit higher. You can draft guys like that a little bit higher. Joseph Addai's got a little bit more value in those leagues as opposed to just regular rushing leagues. So make sure you know the rules of your league, but don't get caught up in sleepers. Don't take sleepers early.
Absolutely. And, Josh, real quick, do you have any quick questions before we let Jason go?
Not that I can think of.
Jason, real quick, Jason awesome. Hammer of the Hammer and Not. you left him speechless. That's a rarity. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Jason, real quick, how can our listeners find you and listen to your great masterpiece?
Oh, wow. That's a bold statement right there, my friend. It's on our website, hammerandnigel.com. It's sometimes not kid, sometimes not safe for work friendly. I mean, we're never posting porn on there. We're not going to have somebody just dropping the F-bomb 50 times. But there are some things on there that may not be appropriate, so be careful. But the podcast is an hour long. It's exciting. It's fun to hear local news media and local athletes and celebrities open up over a few beers and bullshit a little bit. And it's at hammerandnigel.com, and you can find us on Facebook, too, facebook.com/hammerandnigel. Same thing on Twitter.
All right, Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Jason, you are always, always welcome here on the Balance Gridiron. You can call in anytime. No invitation needed, standing invite. I hope you have yourself a great weekend, and thanks for joining us on the opening day of the Balance Gridiron.
You got it, man. Have a good fantasy draft tonight.
Thanks. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show joining us today on the Balance Gridiron. We'll be right back. And when we get back, Josh, you've got the driver's seat again. It's BCS projections when we get back. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome to the Balanced Gridiron Report. I'm $2 Bill Josh Elmore, and right alongside me is El Presidente Tom Marquis. Before we get into the BCS projections, I'm going to release the rest of our top 25. Number 13 is Boise State. In their first year in the Mountain West Conference, they still want to win the national title. They're going to have to go undefeated and do so quite convincingly. And then I'm still not sure they can get into the BCS national title game. At number 14, I have Nebraska under Coach Bo Pelini in their first year in the Big Ten. Welcome to the Big Ten, Nebraska. Please don't beat IU too bad when we meet later this year. At number 15 is Auburn. Number 16 is TCU. Number 17 is South Carolina, who we were just talking about a little bit earlier. They have a stud at running back, Marcus Latimer. Number 18 is Virginia Tech. Number 19 is Mississippi State. Number 21 is Georgia. At number 22, I have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and I'm still not convinced that's not a little bit too high, especially after hearing the Brian Kelly interview a little bit earlier. As he's lacking that his team has the depth, if he's doubting that he has the depth, then maybe Notre Dame's a little overhyped. Number 22 is Arizona State. Number 23, I have Texas. Number 24, I have the Northwestern Wildcats under head coach Pat Fitzgerald. He's quietly built a nice, solid program over there. at number 25 out of the Florida Gators in their first year under head coach Will Muschamp, and UCF in a tie for the 25th place in the top 25 poll. Any of those you disagree with, Tom?
I wouldn't say disagree. I would maybe maybe put them in a different order, perhaps. But no, that's fine. I mean, absolutely. And we certainly want to hear your comments on our top 25. Give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we're certainly going to use this to transition into our BCS bowls. But one of the things that I like is I like Oklahoma being number one. I don't you did place them at number one, or I'm sorry, I didn't write it down as you were saying, Josh.
I have Oklahoma number two, and I have LSU number one.
Well, here's what I got for my top ten. Okay, real quickly, my top ten in my personal poll here. Number one, Oklahoma. I think that's a given. Number two, Bama. Number three, I'm torn between Oregon and LSU, but I'm going to go ahead and put LSU number three there. Number four, Florida State. Number six, Boise State. Number seven, Texas A&M. Number eight, Stanford. And number 10, I'm going to go with Wisconsin. Then Nebraska, South Carolina, Virginia Tech. And number 14, like I said earlier, that brings me full circle to Notre Dame University. Those are my picks. I still have Ohio State being in there. I think they're going to be down there in the number 18 position. My number 25 is USC, and number 24 is Penn State. So that kind of gives you an idea of what I'm looking at there. I've got three Big Ten schools in the top 25.
And that's another thing to keep in mind when you go to thebalanceonline.com. Starting September 5th, the opening Monday of the season, well, actually, there's a game that day, so starting Tuesday, September 6th, I'm going to release my weekly top 25. Tom's going to release his weekly top 25, and hopefully we can get Gary to release either his top 10 or his top 25. That way you could just see that on the balance. We all follow college football, but we may not all rank everybody the same. Just like when you open up USA Today, those writers don't always rank the teams in the same order. Just add a little bit of excitement to the show.
Right. Well, here we go, guys. We're going to jump right into this last part of the segment here as we can here. Our 2011-2012 BCS bowl projections. Now, here's my thing. Josh, and I want to get into these projections, but I do want to make sure that I, for the record, say we need to take the BS out of the BCS, and let's get it done sooner than later. I am tired of every year us having – I think this past year, though, the BCS got it right, but their system in which they do it is wrong. We need to go to a playoff system. We need to do it the same schools – okay, not as big. Let's make that point very, very clear. Not as big of a tournament as March Madness. You take the top 10 or whatever, however the playoff system is, we need to have a playoff system to get to the national championship, not just about who spends the most money on a bowl game. With that said, let's go right into the projections, Joshua.
In the Rose Bowl, I have the Michigan Wolverines in their first year under head coach Brady Hoke, taking on the Stanford Cardinal in their first year under head coach David Shaw with Andrew Luck at quarterback. In the Fiesta Bowl, I have the West Virginia Mountaineers representing the Big East against the Boise State Broncos. In the Orange Bowl, I have the Clemson Tigers versus the Auburn Tigers. In the Sugar Bowl, I have LSU versus the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame if they could stay healthy. And in the BCS National Title Game, I have the Texas Longhorns in the BCS National Title Game, not the Oklahoma Sooners, for the simple fact that Texas is mad, angry, physical, and they're not going to let Oklahoma beat them twice in 2 years. So under that game, we'll move on. And Florida State.
All right. Well, Josh, we're both going to pick in our own bowls games as we are. I'm going to go with what I call minor and major bowls. Obviously, major bowls being the Rose Bowl and the All-State Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and the rest of the cereal bowls. But what I want to do is kind of dive into some of the smaller bowls, like the New Mexico Bowl, and some of the teams that I think will have some good bowl games. And real quickly, I think – again, way too early. We're just talking preseason. We're just talking about the teams that we know about. New Mexico Bowl on December 17th. I like Colorado State being there against Arizona. The New Orleans Bowl out there in New Orleans, obviously. Speaking of money, by the way, I will go back to this on a different show, but the payout on that Carrier's New Orleans Bowl is $1 million. Anyway, I got Troy versus UCF there. The Beef O'Brady St. Petersburg Bowl. I like South Florida and South Miss. San Diego Credit Union Bowl. I like Air Force finally making a bowl game against Louisiana Tech. Those are some of my and going to Hawaii on Christmas Eve. I think Hawaii's going to be there. It's their home turf. Why not against East Carolina? So that's on that bowl. Now my major bowls. Who I've got in the big bowls, and I think, Josh, you started with the Rose Bowl. I kind of want to go with the Rose Bowl there. Let me get to my notes here. Rose Bowl. Okay, out in Pasadena, and by the way, the payout on the Rose Bowl is $36 million. I have got no reason to believe that Ohio State will not be there, so I'm going to go with Ohio State versus Oregon. Sugar Bowl, LSU and Wisconsin. I think that's going to be a good game. Why Wisconsin? I just think they'll end up beating Nebraska. It's going to be a great game, and it'll probably be played right here in Indianapolis. The Tostita Fiesta Bowl, Oklahoma State versus West Virginia. The championship, the granddaddy of them all, obviously Alabama and Oklahoma. Going head-to-head, you know, obviously you still got to look at LSU, Oregon, and Boise State all having the possibility of being there. I think it LSU versus Alabama, and then, you know, you deal with all that. But I think Alabama will be there. Alabama versus Oklahoma, Bama gets it. That's my pick, Josh.
Well, we have come basically to the end of the show, so thank you for tuning in to the premiere episode of the Balanced Gridiron, and I'm going to turn the last 3 minutes over to Tom for a new weekly segment called Tom's Rants.
All right. Thanks, Josh. That's right, guys. It's Tom's Rant. This is where I take 3 minutes of my time, of my life, to share my knowledge with you. And we've talked about it on this show. We've talked about it throughout the week, and it's only natural that I talk about the NCAA violation scandals and everything that goes along with it. It's time for the NCAA to get their act together. It's time for them to put a new rule in place that says when you sign the dotted line, there are some severe consequences for your actions. You win, you come, you play, that's how you win. You don't win by cheating. You don't win by – and the penalty needs to be so stiff. When I say stiff, you have to pay back your scholarship money. You don't get to play in the NFL. You don't get to drive the strippers, and all the stuff that goes with it does not come together if you're going to sign a letter of intent. Josh, give us the 30-second timeout. We got to go. All right.
We look forward to seeing all you guys at our balance draft at 7 o'clock tonight at BW3's and Speedway.
Yep, come on by, say hello to the balance draft party, BW3's and Speedway. Guys, we're out of here. This has been the Balanced Gridiron. We'll see you for the wrap up Monday night, 6 o'clock.